800-222-KBC. So the Washington Post has a story. It's actually a study recently published in the journal Language Sciences. Randy, you have a subscription to that, don't you?
Great sports section.
And it says that vocabulary is vocabulary, and it doesn't matter whether you're quoting Shakespeare or cursing like a sailor, that it means that cursing could be a sign of intelligence. So that's fine. In which
I'm
case,
really smart then, huh?
Oh, no. I must be working with a bunch of ingeniuses because, whew, the language used around this joint.
When the mics go off, the language gets hot.
When the mics go off, the show begins. And if the mics ever come on when the mics are supposed to be off, it'll be our farewell appearance. Let me tell you that. But what about if you curse in front of your kids? Now, I grew up in a home, believe it or not, given the potty mouth I walk around with, where my father, to this day, I have never heard him say a stronger word than damn or hell, even when he hit his finger with a hammer. But joining us right now to talk about this is a professor and author of What the F? What Swearing Reveals About Our Language, Our Brains, and Ourselves, from UC San Diego, professor of cognitive science. It's a pleasure to welcome Benjamin Bergen. Good morning, Professor Bergen. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Appreciate you coming on with us. So what is it about? Now, again, I know this is old school, but my father literally is 85, and I've never heard him say anything stronger than damn or hell, and that rarely so. But what is it in your research that says that it's okay if you curse in front of your kids?
Well, there's some uses of strong language that clearly cause harm to kids. And there are basically two types that involve profanity. The first is verbal abuse. So you can cause all kinds of emotional and cognitive harm to a child by telling them that they're stupid or incompetent or whatever. And you can use profanity to do that. So that's not on the table. And another type of strong language that can cause harm is slurs. So kids who are called by homophobic slurs, for example, show an increase in depression and anxiety through middle school. So that's not what I'm talking about. But when you look at just the run-of-the-mill four-letter words, those things that you might yell out when you step on a piece of Lego late at night or over a child gate or something like that, those words have never been demonstrated to cause any sort of harm whatsoever to kids. It doesn't cause them to be more aggressive. It doesn't cause them to have smaller vocabularies, like you were saying. It actually correlates with a bigger vocabulary. And there are lots of positive uses that kids will grow to use swearing for, like what you use swearing for, to alleviate frustration or anxiety, or to be funny, to be familiar with friends. So there are a lot of pluses and maybe a couple minuses.
Yeah, well, definitely the minus would be if as a parent or an adult, you start cursing at a child using four-letter words and obscenities and all the derogatory terms you talked about or alluded to, I can certainly see how that would be traumatic, terrifying to kids, really, because we forget that we're so much larger and our voices are so much bigger and we have the mantle of authority that would be really terrifying for a child. But for a child to just simply hear mom or dad letting it fly when they, stub their toe into the edge of the bed, or as you point out, the single most painful injury to any, more painful than childbirth, is stepping on a Lego or a Power Ranger, a Transformer figure with no shoes on at 2 a.m.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, the reason that being sworn at can be traumatic for a kid is because of the emotions behind it. It's not the particular words that you're using. You can be very angry and very cruel to a child without using, I mean, not that one should, but there are cases where people are very harmful to children without using profanity at all. It's not the word's fault. It's the lack of control over emotion directed at a child that can be harmful.
Well, on that, I totally agree. We're talking with Benjamin Bergen, who's a UC San Diego professor, and his book, What the F? What Swearing Reveals About Our Language, Our Brains, and Ourselves. And what does language reveal about ourselves in particular? My personal feeling about this, even though I don't practice it, I mean, well, I guess that's not true. I do practice it in the sense that I'm on the air here 5 hours a day, And most of the time, I'm able to get through the broadcast without slipping. Although one time I did get up to the back end, the straight line of the K on the F word.
Oh dear!
Before Randy bailed me out. I don't know if I trust Ryan Wong to do that, but Randy saved me. But the thing is that to me, the ability to control having the self-control, the personal discipline to understand where language is inappropriate and appropriate is a test of maturity.
It's really hard to do, right? You're on the public airwaves right now, and it's lucky that you have a producer who has your back, because if you were to make a mistake,
no, I have a producer who has my back, but I have Randy Wang whose finger is on the board. So there's a big difference.
Fair point. You have to be exhibiting self-control, and that is something that takes two parts. You have to know what the rules are, and the rules are very complicated because the social world is complicated, and you have to have the ability to express those rules in the millisecond decisions that you make to use a word or not. And that's actually why you see in certain cases of Tourette syndrome, where people have disorders with inhibitory control. Certain people with Tourette syndrome are unable to control the spontaneous production of profanity. So, you know, it's something that the brain is working really hard at a lot of the time during our waking lives.
And like I said, no one in the room, I've hosted the Los Angeles political roast a bunch of times. And whenever I perform publicly, I don't use obscenities. And, you know, I had a joke that I wanted to do that included the F-bomb, which I did this year in front of 1,000 people, and it's all the L.A. hoi polloi. But the thing is that you do have to know the temperature of the room. That might work at a political roast, but I don't know that it's going to work at a Knights of Columbus pancake breakfast.
Absolutely. You know, profanity has consequences. Sometimes the consequences are really positive, right? If you took the right temperature of the room, or if you're the right kind of comic in the right kind of club, then transgressing these social standards that we have by using these taboo words in public can be really powerful. It can evoke strong emotions. It can be funny. It can make you seem approachable or accessible. In the wrong circumstances, if you miscalculate just a little bit, you could come off as brutish or uncontrolled or overbearing.
Yeah, as Carol Burnett said, was on with us a week or so ago. She said, "If you're going to work dirty, you better be funny."
That's right. That's basically. I think that's true in general.
Yeah, as a rule. Hey, listen. Thanks so much for coming on. The book is called "What the F: What Swearing Reveals About Our Language, Our Brains, and Ourselves." Benjamin Bergen. Thanks so much. Appreciate it, sir.
Now, it was really fun.
Now get the out of here.